WWE doubles down on Rusev and Lana, Kairi Sane and Becky tear it up, and Jordan Miles plays the racist card. Your WWE Raw review starts right after this. So you guys know I'm a huge fantasy football fan, and right now we are in the thick of it. My team's 4-4, so I'm not doing great. But if you guys love fantasy football and you love podcasts, you guys need to check out Tecmo Bros Fantasy Football. That's T-E-C-M-O Bros Fantasy Football. They're available on Anchor, Google and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many others. So what are they? They're a fantasy football podcast by fantasy football fans. No better combination. I've checked them out. Very well informed, entertaining, highly recommended, guys. You can follow them on Twitter at Tecmo Bros FF. That's T-E-C-M-O Bros FF. Or you can head on over to Anchor at anchor.fm/TECMO-bros. Pretty easy, right? You can also email them at tecmobrosff@gmail.com. They go over weekly news and notes and advice from experienced players and are experts that drop arbitrary rankings by what they watch every single week. They're just a couple fans telling you the best way to win. And trust me, there's no better podcast right now that will give you the best information regarding fantasy football other than the Tecmo Bros. So check them out. They're on Anchor, Google, Apple Podcasts, Tecmo Bros Fantasy Football. You'll be glad and your team will be glad that you did.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Thank you guys so much for joining me on this Tuesday, October 29th, 2019. We're just about to close out in October. It's absolutely crazy as we roll into the November season, really the holiday season. You know that the minute Halloween's over, there are Christmas trees and holly and everything else, toys and commercials that are going to bombard you from now until probably New Year's. And so it's going to be a wild ride. Some stores have already put Christmas stuff out. I know that, look, my wife and I went to Lowe's. This is at the beginning of October, late September, and they put Christmas stuff out. And she's a Christmas fanatic. I am not. I love the season, but I love it when it's time. I don't do the, well, it's close enough. No. To me, it starts Black Friday, and then you get a month out of me. You don't get 2 months, but you know who probably wins in this household, right? Anyway, thank you guys for joining me, and I've got a lot to discuss today, and some stuff that is very, very passionate from me, and especially with the Jordan Miles thing. And if you don't know what that's about, I'll explain it in just a minute. It's a pretty pretty controversial deal, pretty crappy thing that he did in terms of trying to expose WWE and the whole story. And yeah, there's two sides to this argument, but I'm going to get into the nitty gritty of it, about it. And then, of course, Monday Night Raw, which is what we're here for, in a Raw that I thought overall was a good show. But man, they really couldn't come up with a main event better than the storyline that we all don't give a damn about of Rusev, Lana, and Lashley. Boy, oh boy. They made that the main event of Raw. Can you make this stuff up? I can't. But before I get started, guys, I want to apologize. I know the last show, I had some mic issues, and hopefully my voice is coming out normal. I know that around 30 minutes, 35 minutes or so, many of you emailed me, tweeted me, and said, look, I don't know what the F is going on with your voice, and you're sort of skipping as well. I have no excuses. This mic is probably 5-ish years old. When I first started podcasting, I decided, hey, might want to invest in a mic that sounds decent. And so far, so good. And this mic has treated me well. And I just think it's time. I think it's time. And it's just that its number is up. And it's time for my mic to pass on peacefully. And I've already ordered its replacement. And so it'll be here, I think, tomorrow. I think Amazon had quoted me at tomorrow that my mic will be here. So no worries in that department. It will be a fresh, brand new mic, same mic. I didn't want to go super crazy. You know, there's this mic out there. I know you guys aren't super interested in microphones, but the microphone that I really wanted was like $600 between not just the mic, but the stand I was going to need, the adapter to go from XLR to USB so I could plug into my laptop. But I just said, I can't do that. I just moved, trying to save money, all that kind of stuff. And I talked myself out of it. So I think I sound pretty good on this mic right now. Is it the highest quality? No, it's not. But I think it gets the job done. I haven't heard anyone complain about the mic quality. Although I've heard some of you say that the interviews I do, some people are saying that it's all over the place in terms of volume. I've tried to correct that. And lo and behold, I correct that last week. And then my voice goes haywire and goes really low and then skips and all that kind of stuff. So my apologies, guys. But it should be rectified shortly. And thank you for sticking with me. And thank you again for tuning into the show. I will be back again, of course, tomorrow night with your wrestling nostalgia. I don't know what I'm going to be choosing yet. And I'm leaving it up to you guys. Last week, I had a good suggestion about ECW's One Night Stand. And I covered a little bit of 05 and 06 when they did the One Night Stand, which kind of defeats the purpose of the title, One Night Stand, doesn't it? Yeah. But I'll leave it up to you guys. What do you want me to talk about with wrestling tomorrow night? Let me know. It has to be WWE focused. I did not watch anything outside of WWE in any real intelligent capacity, so I won't be able to intelligently discuss it. Makes sense, right? And as you know, I started back in 97. So if you could stay within the 1997 through 2019, gives you a pretty big span of 22 years to work with. Let me know. Let me know what topic, what year, what era, what match specifically did you want me to cover? Tweet me at the WWE podcast or on via email at realwwepodcast@gmail.com, and I'll be glad to cover it for you. Also, as a quick announcement, the patreon.com/WWE podcast, that feed that I have that's ad free and has exclusive content, everything like that. My special offer is running out and running out very, very soon. And what I mean by that, the special offer is basically that you get to have a $50 value for just a dollar. If you're a new patron, you sign up and the very first tier is a dollar. You get access to the entire library ad-free, and you can come on to this show for a mini podcast and be a quick co-host with me, maybe 15, 20 minutes. But I would love for be able to get some new voices on the show and get your guys' opinion and let you choose the topic rather than just my warped brain coming up with topics to discuss, and diving deep into single topics would be really a lot of fun. Also, existing patrons who are on the show, all you have to do is move up a tier, any tier, pick a tier, and you will be able to get onto this show for the length of the podcast. You guys can get on for a 30-minute podcast, or really as long as you'd like to go. How about that? So a really good offer. This is something that will be closing very soon, so get yourself into the patreon.com/WWE podcast feed, and I put up an article that was exclusive to that feed last week. You guys did not, who are listening for free, did not get a chance to take a look at, and how the Fiend can be resurrected successfully. I put up an entire article on that, three ways that WWE can do that. So how about that for a little bit of a teaser to see if you are interested in joining the feed? It'd be a pretty good thing. And I'm going to be starting and I want your guys' take on this. Everybody's take, patrons, non-patrons, free listeners, whatnot. Would you guys like me to do a hit and misses column? Meaning every single pay-per-view and every single Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, do you want a hit and miss column? And meaning, like, I mean, pretty self-explanatory. What things hit, what things miss, and have just kind of a bulleted list, not going into a long essay form, just kind of bullet. A hit was Kairi Sane and Becky Lynch. Here's why. I mean, I think that's pretty cool. A lot of other sites do this. We all know the websites that do this. They were kind of my inspiration for doing it. So we all know who they are, and you know, kudos to them, and they're very successful as well. Don't want to give free advertising, but y'all know who I'm talking about. So let me know what you guys think. Interested in doing that and doing it for my my patrons of the show, but I think it might be something you guys enjoy. And speaking of something I think you'll enjoy, and guys, this one's for you. Not the ladies, but the guys out there. I really gotta just take a moment to talk to you about something. And it's something called manscaping. You guys know what that is, right? Instead of landscaping, we all know what landscaping is, but what do men do to landscape themselves, right? Well, you kind of trim yourself up down there, right? I mean, that's kind of what you do when you talk about manscaping. Well, you know, when you're down there making sure things are good and smooth, there's a lot of accidents that can happen, right? And you want to avoid those. Well, those are a thing of the past. And I have Manscaped.com to thank for that. Trust me, guys. I mean, like, this is kind of a sensitive topic, but let's be real about this. I mean, this is something that you need to do if you want to make sure that your ladies out there are appreciating the effort you're putting into making sure that that area of your body is very well groomed and smells nice, and that the trimmer you're using isn't the same one you use for your face, and that the razor you use isn't going to nick you. That would not be fun. Trust me, I've had issues with that in the past. No longer. I go to Manscaped.com because they not only have those razors and stuff, but they also have ball deodorant. That's a real thing. I know that you're probably chuckling, but that's a real thing. And trust me when I say that that will be beneficial for you if you have a significant other. I'll just leave it at that. They've also got hair and body wash. They've even got ball toner. Yeah, ball toner. I'm serious. They do. And they've even got a newspaper for Manscaped Daily News. It's really entertaining. They've got some great stories in there. Trust me, Manscaped's got you covered A to Z. I've been using their products for a couple of weeks now, and they really have some awesome stuff, including cologne, which I've used, and my wife actually said, she's like, what is that? It's very subtle but nice. They've got some cologne that's not overpowering. It's not like Polo or whatever, which I actually used to wear. No longer. They've got some really, really great stuff. It's quality. The razor they have has a weight to it. It's not those cheap plastic razors you find at the store. It's got one blade, and if you turn it the wrong direction, it's going to slice you. This has got just the most amazing blade I've ever used in my life, and you want to make sure it's high quality and it's not going to nick you, especially where you're going to be, you know, trimming yourself up. So guys, seriously, check that out. And here's a deal for you. What you can do is head to manscaped.com. You can get free shipping and 20% off. You just have to use the promo code WWEPOD. That's one word, WWEPOD at manscaped.com. And you'll get 20% off of free shipping if you use that code of WWEPOD. You can join the other dudes helping themselves with Manscaped with a special offer just for you guys. You get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. That's right. Manscaped is offering WWE podcast listeners 20% off and free shipping with WWE Pod. You won't get that if you don't put that in. So go get yours today, guys. I'm serious. I've got all the products in my bathroom. It is probably the best man-based website I've used, especially for something like this. Name another organization that's got something like this, right? Go to manscaped.com and use promo code WWEPOD. Again, go to manscaped.com, use promo code WWEPOD to get 20% off and free shipping, guys. I know it's a little bit of a sensitive topic, guys, but trust me, you will thank me and your significant other will thank you. So head on over to manscaped.com and get your 20% off and free shipping today. Alrighty, well, so here's one thing I want to talk about before I get into Monday Night Raw is Jordan Miles. Now, Jordan Miles ended up getting all bent out of shape on Twitter because WWE put out a tweet, and in this tweet from October 27th, 2 days ago, Jordan Miles, again, he's an NXT star, not even gonna call him a superstar. To call people superstars is superstar with a lowercase s. How about that? So he says, I will keep posting this till my voice is heard. I'm not sorry for anything I say or do. Representation is important. If this is Vince McMahon and Triple H's vision of me, then this is a slap in the face to every African-American performer, fan, and supporter. And what the shirt is a plain black tee. You probably have seen it. And it has the name Jordan Miles in white with a red background, supposedly to represent African-Americans who have big lips and teeth. I guess that's it. Honestly, I had to look up why this was racist. And you may say, oh, well, you're a white guy. And here we go, opening up Pandora's box. But and look, I really am trying to keep race out of this. But it's a wrestling story in which, unfortunately, racism is trying to rear its ugly head in here. And look, I see this shirt. And I immediately go, what's the problem here? Like, I did not understand why this is an issue. And look at it for yourself. That's not the first thing I saw. And I had to Google why the F is racist. I don't even see. Like, honestly, I never saw that. Even when I was told what this was and what it is. Even if, let me just put it this way. Even if that's what was meant, to imply, right, that African Americans have big lips and teeth, if that's the case, right? And I have other things to discuss here, but we'll go under that assumption. How is that racist? Somebody explain that to me. How is that racist? It is a physical characteristic that is common on some African Americans. It's just a fact. That's not a subjective take on any individual. That's just a physical trait on some African Americans, on some white people. But Jordan Miles continues his racist tirade of WWE, who is doing no favors and basically committed career suicide in WWE. This man is a fool. This man is a fool, and not because he's black. So he continues. And his entire timeline is riddled with making, you know, this whole, his entire timeline, even leading up to this, is talking about the races and representation, all this kind of stuff. So this guy clearly has an agenda rolling into this tweet that was put out. He even said that, "I've used this shirt as fuel. I knew the shirt existed, and my soul hasn't been able to rest properly since I've laid eyes on it. My voice will be heard. My true opinion will be heard. And my people will have their moment." Who are your people? And what who are your people? Are you trying to insinuate that all African Americans are your people? Why? What? And again, I know that this is, I get it. I understand how people are deeming this as racist. I see what you're saying, but here's the thing. And WWE said this in a statement. WWE put out that they said that Jordan Miles pre-approved this shirt before it was actually put out there. And people are screaming racism because that's what everyone does nowadays that doesn't agree with your opinion. You're just immediately racist and they try to shout you down rather than having an intelligent argument with you. It's just, you're wrong because you're racist. That's just the go-to, of which makes little sense and has no standing in 99% of cases. WWE put out a statement, and then Jordan Miles replied. He said, "When I originally saw the design, I was uncomfortable. Rather than addressing the issue, I decided to counteroffer with another. Baker Landon lied to my face. He said Triple H wanted this design, so my hands were tied. I spoke with Triple H in person. His impression was that I approved." Well, if this is such a racist, awful shirt, of what you deem, and you never wanted it to ever be produced, and you were that offended, wouldn't you have made it abundantly clear? Even though you said that, oh, the almighty Triple H said that he wanted this design, so my hands were tied. Well, no, they're not. They're not tied. If you believe, because you're such a sensitive individual that is that has a hidden agenda against WWE, which clearly is the case here, you could have called and said, "Hey guys, I don't think that this is a good idea. Regardless, I know that Triple H is in favor, but this is blatantly racist. I deem this as blatantly racist. I don't think it's a good idea for me or the company to even produce this shirt." I mean, if you felt that strongly, but clearly, it's very obvious to me that he let it go through with the knowing and the hidden agenda to let it go through so that he could have his moment in the sun and go, he had the gotcha moment. I got WWE. Look what they did. Now he's trying to drag WWE's name through the mud. You approved this. He's saying people lied to his face. I highly doubt that. If you felt that this was something that was blatantly racist, why did he not go to the office? Go straight to the guy in charge. Go straight to Vince. If you really feel that it's that racist, it made no sense. This guy has such an agenda. And it just continues. This whole thing continues, of which I'm trying not to get into race. This is not a political show by any means. This is just such an insane story. Talking about how the African Americans are not represented equally in WWE. Everything is about race with him. If you don't agree with him, you're racist. He says, why should I apologize for being honest? Why should I not voice my opinion and state the facts about the state of the business? I'm proud to be a professional wrestler, more proud to be an African American. Stand with me and stand behind me. Reply with your, you know, it just goes on and on and on. I mean, it's all about race. There was a clear hidden agenda of trying to set up WWE to put them through the mud. And if honestly, if this was something that was, say he's telling the truth, even say I'm wrong and that he was lied and he was assured that, it, you know, because of the racial profiling or the racial implications that we're not going to, you know, publish, we're going to not publish this shirt and he was lied to. Well, wouldn't you be a bigger man to just call the office and say, hey, what the hell? Instead of dragging or trying to drag the entire company's name through the mud. That's not how you conduct business. And yes, if somebody in WWE approved this shirt and they were not or they knew of the racial implications of it, yet they decided, hey, I don't care, we're going to do this anyway, then that's bad job out of WWE. But I highly doubt in this extremely sensitive, forward-thinking, progressive version of WWE in 2019 that anybody with any brain cells to rub together decided to say, hey, yeah, we know there's a bunch of racial implications here, but we don't give a damn. Very unlikely. And again, if that's the case, extremely bad job out of WWE. But this guy has a clear agenda of making it all about race. And, oh, we're so underrepresented and this and that. Did you not see Kofi Kingston the last 6 months? And you could say, oh, look at the way he lost. He held the belt for 6 months, made it to main event of WrestleMania, and won the championship for 6 months, saying they don't care. Really? If I was Vince McMahon, I would fire this guy faster than you could say Jordan Miles. I really would. But WWE is kind of at a tough place right now because, hey, if they fire him, well, it's because he was a whistleblower. They, you know, they decided to get rid of him. And they may double down on how it looks from WWE's perspective. But at the same time, this guy has a clear hidden agenda. He's shown that he can't be trusted if there's an internal issue with his own merchandise that he's trying to sell. He can't just go to the office internally, make a phone call, send a text, hey guys, you know, instead taking to Twitter like a child and trying to run his name through the mud like he's some kind of hero. He's not a hero. He's a guy who is bad with bad intentions, trying to run WWE's name through the mud, and he committed career suicide like a fool. This man is a fool. I am not for racism whatsoever, and I see how it could be racist. And bad job out of WWE. Again, I am not absolving WWE if indeed they are 100% at fault. But based on his comments, it's like he had them pre-prepared. And he had a preconceived notion and this agenda that was already there. And they just, WWE was, Jordan Miles set a trap and WWE set her foot right in it. And that's exactly what was done here. And somebody put even to him and said, hey, what about Kofi? Yeah, they certainly don't care. And he said, legend, Martin Luther Kingston. Really? Are we really going back to this? Or why don't you, I mean, seriously, why does this have to be about this? I agree. WWE has had some very questionable moments. Look back to Crime Time. I don't agree with that. Look what they did with R-Truth at times. I don't agree with some of the stuff they did with R-Truth. They have not had a great history at times of dealing with African-American talent. There's no question about that. There's no question. But WWE has made leaps and bounds and strides forward in terms of representing African-Americans. And here's the thing. It's all about equal outcomes versus equal opportunity. Here, let me just break it down for you, folks. If it's all about equal outcomes, you can't provide equal opportunity. It's one or the other. If you provide equal outcomes, you can't have equal opportunity because you'll have to skew who gets the opportunity to get to the outcome you want. If you want equal opportunity, you're going to have to deal with the fact that it's not going to be an equal representation of people who have the opportunity that have the equal outcome. So you got to pick one. You can't have both. And apparently Jordan Miles wants both. And it ain't going to happen. That's true in all walks of life with everything. And unfortunately, we're in a world right now that everybody wants equal outcomes. But they also want equal opportunity. You can't do that. It's not possible. So this fool, I'll just leave it out here now and end it here. Is this fool has committed career suicide when he could have done it in a professional manner. This shirt was never even sold, by the way. Everything's racism. Shut up. This is not a great design based on what I'm seeing, but it was never sold. You pre-approved it, and you could have dealt with it, even if somebody lied, in a more professional way. Instead, you decided to throw your career under the truck and in front of the bus just so that you could get your 5 seconds of fame and try to stand for something bigger when you're going to come out looking like the complete fool. How about that? All right. Well, moving on, guys. I did not expect to go that long on it. But let's go to something really good. Let's go to something I really, really like from Monday Night Raw. And that is a surprise match of Becky Lynch and Kairi Sane. Loved this. This match brought me in. This match brought me in a way that made me like wrestling again for just about 15 minutes that this match was. A very, very good match. I mean, Kairi Sane, did they have some bumps and things that were a little bit clunky? Sure, but I was able to absolve that by the quality of the match and the psychology used, and that these two have not really had a long-standing match on the main roster. And to get in there and perform like they did, I hope we see these two again. I loved how it ended. Of course, the disarmer. Becky, really, I mean, we all knew where it was going. Becky had to win. It was amazing. I really think that was an awesome way to start off Raw. And I never really talked about the beginning with Paige coming out, about how she's coming out to introduce the Kabuki Warriors, and that even if she had just a small part to do with their success, Paige, what are you talking about? You didn't have anything to do with them being successful. Nothing. Nothing. Because you never explained how you brought them together, why you brought them together, what your vested interest is in here. You just were kind of there because you can't perform in the ring anymore because of your neck injury. You became the SmackDown general manager and then were basically let go. And then you disappeared off the face of the earth and come back as the manager of these two with no explanation and barely there on a week-to-week basis for these two, and somehow give yourself any kind of credit. I mean, look, from a storyline perspective, maybe backstage she actually did. I'm talking about from what WWE has presented on the air. She had nothing to do with this. Nothing. But what I did like was Kairi Sane and Paige, or Kairi Sane and Asuka turning on Paige and spitting the green mist in her eyes. And that was good. I was very curious as to see if they were going to actually get physical with Paige, because that would have been a clue that, hey, maybe Paige is cleared to come back. I haven't heard anything, but I was looking very closely to see if there was any kind of signs there. I really, really enjoyed it. And I think that this firmly establishes Kairi Sane and Asuka as heels. Love it. These two are, I think, going to be overachieving the women's tag team division. I see them as women's tag team champion. So you guys know I'm a huge fantasy football fan, and right now we are in the thick of it. My team's 4-4, so I'm not doing great. But if you guys love fantasy football and you love podcasts, you guys need to check out Tecmo Bros Fantasy Football. That's TECMO Bros Fantasy Football. They're available on Anchor, Google and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many others. So what are they? They're a fantasy football podcast by fantasy football fans. No better combination. I've checked them out. Very well informed, entertaining, highly recommended, guys. You can follow them on Twitter at Tecmo Bros FF. That's TECMO Bros FF. Or you can head on over to Anchor, at anchor.fm/TECMO-bros. Pretty easy, right? You can also email them at tecmobrosff@gmail.com. They go over weekly news and notes and advice from experienced players and are experts that drop arbitrary rankings by what they watch every single week. They're just a couple fans telling you the best way to win. And trust me, there's no better podcast right now that will give you the best information regarding fantasy football other than the Tecmo Bros. So check them out. They're on Anchor, Google, Apple Podcasts, Tecmo Bros Fantasy Football. You'll be glad and your team will be glad that you did. Hopefully with a long run in their future. I really believe that. I think they deserve it. They are clearly the hot team right now. And I like that Kairi Sane got rid of the pirate gimmick and she came out with just one of those oriental umbrellas or honestly, I don't even know the correct term for it. But I like how she just adjusted slightly there, got rid of the pirate gimmick that made zero sense. And you guys know how I felt about that, which was just what is this? What is this? I mean, seriously. But I like it. They are gelling well together. The green mist, those green tears that Asuka has on her makeup. Nice touch there. This team is gelling. They have firmly established themselves as heels. And I would like to see them get to the top of the division. And I think they have that ability. They are more relevant now than I think they've ever been. And that's saying something. Even when Asuka was SmackDown Women's Champion, it never quite felt like she was really the focus of the show. Never. And it was still always about Becky or Charlotte or whoever it may be. And Asuka losing to Charlotte a week before WrestleMania last year was nothing short of criminal. And it still just really irks my soul to think about why was this ever done? Why did Charlotte ever get a championship match? Okay, let's move on. Really great match, by the way. We kept getting teases of the divorce court held by Jerry Lawler to have Lana and Rusev come face to face. Whatever. I mean, seriously, that's the hook for the show. Okay, moving on. Buddy Murphy and R-Truth. Buddy starts off strong with some strikes on Truth, and Truth fires back. Truth finally gets back in the ring after he was running in circles around the ring, and Murphy knees him in the face for the three count. I think the winner here, Buddy, is Buddy Murphy, and he very well could be, again, the winner of the 20-man Battle Royal to face AJ Styles at Crown Jewel Thursday, which, by the way, I'll be covering that and Friday Night SmackDown on a Saturday show with Ashley. So jam-packed show on Saturday. Really excited to be talking with Ashley about that and so much more. It's going to be a crazy week. So, and of course, NXT and AEW review shows are also coming Thursday evening, so keep in mind with that. All right. Then we had Ricochet and Drew McIntyre part two, a follow-up from last week. And again, very good match here. And I can't say enough about Drew McIntyre here. And yeah, Ricochet is flashy and he's crazy and does wacky moves, and he is the 2019 style embodiment of a 5-star match, which I don't agree with. I don't dislike Ricochet. I don't like what the pro wrestling industry has dissolved into of what's defined as a 5-star match in 2019. And this goes for all promotions. This is not just WWE. This is NXT. This is AEW, of which I really like their product, but it's just evolved into a spot fest. And a lack of selling and crazy spots. And this is awesome chance. Again, it's not my taste. I don't enjoy a spot fest because it's not believable. There's no selling. There's no emotion. It's emotionless. It's soulless. It's just entertain me, clowns. It's what's next, what's next, what's next, what's next, what's next. Ooh, cool, cool, cool. Reversal. Wow, look at that. Ricochet takes a beating and then is able to perform, you know, three flips and lands on his opponent. I mean, it's just like, come on. I just, everything doesn't need to be slow paced in a rear chin lock. I'm not saying that. It's just evolved into something that I'm not used to yet. It's just not my cup of tea. I can't get emotionally invested in something like that more often than not. It's too quick. There's a lack of selling. Everything's focused on spots and ooh and ahs rather than anger and happiness and joy and elation and sadness. There's a big lack of that in professional wrestling in 2019 across all promotions in the entire industry. It's just, what's next? Cool, cool. And it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate. But maybe I'll end up changing my mind. But it's just such a stark contrast into what my mind has programmed as to what's an awesome wrestling match. So, okay, moving on. Great match. Again, these two work very well together. I fully expect Drew McIntyre to be the focal point of Crown Jewel. If you guys listen to my review or my preview show, prediction show with Anthony on Sunday, you guys know that I chose, and he chose, Drew McIntyre to be the guy that's going to come out on top and get the win for his team. I think that's going to be the case. I still believe that to be the case. Moreover, the crazy thing in this match was not even Ricochet or Drew McIntyre. It was Randy Orton, who came out and delivered the most heinous, most breathtaking and scary RKO that I've seen in years on Ricochet. It was yikes. I mean, Ricochet is a hell of a talent. He can do anything. He's super athletic. That's wonderful. But boy, did he spike himself on that RKO. I mean, seriously, somebody needs to GIF, whatever you say, make that a meme. It looked brutal, but awesome. I kept waiting for the ref to throw up the X sign. It was wow. The crowd even lost their minds. The crowd was chanting for Randy Orton during that. They loved it. Randy Orton, he's going to be impossible to truly turn heel with a beloved finishing maneuver of the RKO. I mean, it's just impossible. But that popped the crowd more than I've heard the entire night. I mean, that really made the crowd lose their minds, and rightfully so. It was perfectly timed and excellently sold by Ricochet. But my God, his neck must be tweaked this morning. It was brutal. I mean, seriously, watch it in slow motion. You'll cringe. Alrighty, then we have Flair celebrating with his Crown Jewel members after the match, and then the OC is backstage talking to Humberto Carrillo, who is just trying to get the rub right now. And AJ talks about how he's one of the most respected veterans in WWE and how cool it was that Humberto wanted to prove himself. But if Humberto wants a real champ, he should face AJ tonight. So we get that match later on. The Viking Raiders beat Rizzo and Bryant. Boy, talk about a momentum-killing win for the Viking Raiders, who the crowd was fully behind winning the tag team belts, and now they're just being lost into basically local talent. I mean, it's not great right now. It's not great, but I'm gonna let it breathe a little. I'm not gonna crush this yet. Lashley and Lana are backstage, and we move on with our lives. I mean, seriously. Sin Cara and Andrade. Andrade wins, as he should. I mean, Sin Cara is a nice talent. I had a feeling that they would continue this saga of matches, just as Rey Mysterio and Andrade did, because they have complementary styles. They're the Lucha Libre style. They come from the same cloth, all that. They are very good together. They gel well together. I expected nothing less, and Andrade wins, and I'm fine with it, honestly. Natalya and Charlotte versus the Iconics. The Iconics are back. Flair and Peyton started off, and we had Natalya tag in for the double team, and then we had Kay getting the upper hand, and Peyton tags back for the double team, and this didn't last long. Peyton keeps Natalya grounded, and then Kay tagged back in. Flair ends up taking out Peyton Royce, and Natalya puts Billie Kay in the sharpshooter for the win via the submission after a short match. So, yeah, Natalya and Charlotte win this. Nice to see the Iconics back, but not so good to see them win. I need to see the Iconics back on a regular basis. They had such a good thing going. I loved their title reign up until WWE didn't consider it a real title reign, and they just went into the oblivion that is the non-televised version of their title run, and it was unfortunate because I think the Iconics were perfect in their roles. So maybe this is the start of something for them. Even though they lost, they're back at least. All right, Seth Rollins and Eric Rowan in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Boy, oh boy, if you didn't know that a Falls Count Anywhere match means that you can pin somebody anywhere, you weren't listening to the commentary team. Boy, oh boy, they just laid it on thick that it could end up on the ramp. It could end up on our announce table. It could end up on the stairs. It could end up in the restroom. naming every possible place it could happen. And I think that they're trying to instill, WWE is trying to instill the anything could happen. This match could end up anywhere. It can end up in a river. It can end up in a stall of a bathroom. I mean, they're trying to add that feeling of unpredictability and anything could happen. Yet you feel everything but the fact that anything could happen. I mean, the matches are produced the same way. Almost every match is produced the same way. A commercial break is produced the same way. A match never ends during a commercial break. And when you think about the reality of that, how is that possible? That never ever has a match ended during a commercial break. And everybody has to be knocked to the outside of the ring before they go to commercial. And the announcer has to say, "Can so-and-so get back in this match?" as Raw rolls on. And they're laying on the ground as the camera focuses in on their face and they fade out to a commercial. It's the same format. And when they come back from break, what happens? Somebody's in a rear chin lock when they come back from the commercial break. I mean, I don't understand why that is just a locked and loaded foundational, never changing from formula that WWE decides that they can't change from. One of those little, just a little thing. When are we supposed to take our commercial breaks? Hey, maybe after a match. Maybe after a match. How about that? Maybe not during a damn match. Talk about taking you out of the moment, and it's the same formula every single time. But this match was physical with Eric Rowan and Seth Rollins. I like the effort put in by both men. They beat the hell out of each other by the merchandise display. Rowan launching Rollins through a table, choke slamming him through it for a two count. Just the physicality was rough. I mean, Rollins was beat up. I mean, you could see the welts on him. We had Rollins nail Rowan with a chair and then fighting at the backstage through pipes into a forklift, which ended up having where, the one thing I will say, this is, again, Eric Rowan losing made sense. You had to have Eric Rowan lose. As much as they tried to define Eric Rowan, I guess the out for him is it took a forklift to keep Rollins down or to keep Rowan down for him to win. Again, we've seen this finish before. I mean, I think a few times. One of them I can remember was Mick Foley and The Rock. I'm almost positive that The Rock used a forklift on Mick Foley to keep him down for the three count. It might have been the Super Bowl halftime show that they did in an empty arena match, if I'm not mistaken. But it happened at some point. And so this is a finish, and it's happened more than once, which is fine. It's fine. I mean, it's a good finish to have for somebody that you want to protect, but you also want to protect the winner at the same time that, hey, they were smart enough to do this, but it took them to use a 4,000-pound machine to keep them down. I mean, you could sell it both ways. It's a smart finish for somebody they don't want to bury and want to continue moving forward with. Because Eric Rowan has an out here. He could say that Seth had to use this machine. He couldn't keep me down himself. I mean, it's smart booking there. Smart booking. One thing I would like to take back is, hey, Seth Rollins stomp or curb stomp as Dio. I think Dio said curb stomp, and I'm sure Vince was yelling in his ear for that. We don't say curb stomp. There's too many negative implications for that. But it's the stomp. But nonetheless, we had Rowan kick out of it and then get up from another one. I mean, really, why didn't Rollins just go for the cover after he curb stomped him on the ladder the second time? I don't need people to kick out of the stomp. Why is it the new cool fad thing to do to kick out of Seth Rollins' finish? And finishers of all kinds for that reason. It just, the curb stomp, I'm going to call it that because it's a cooler finish name, is a money finish. It looks awesome. It can be hit on anyone. It should legitimately end a match. It would end a fight in real life, I can tell you that. So I'm not a fan of this. Finishes aren't real finishes. I don't know. I'm disconnected from that. But I would give this match a B+. Excellent effort from both men. I'm sure they are sore as hell. They did truly make it a falls count anywhere, as they should, and as the announced team made sure you knew about. And Seth Rollins wins. Alrighty. We had the AJ Styles and Humberto Carrillo match. I'm fine with it. This is all, and AJ Styles wins, but this is all about getting Humberto Carrillo the rub. There's no other way to put this. Umberto's not going to win, but it's about establishing him, getting him in front of the fans' eyes and saying, hey, here's a new guy. We want you to take notice of him, that he can, you know, push people to the limit. And I don't know why everything has to be everyone taking everyone to the limit. Why? Why is everyone taking everyone to the limit? This should be not the case. Like, why was it framed that Humberto Carrillo took Seth Rollins to the limit? No, he didn't. I don't need to hear that, but I know what they're trying to do. I appreciate what they're trying to do and build new stars. So I will eat my words if Humberto Carrillo comes out to be a big star, and I'm fine with them trying to do it. I appreciate them trying to build a new star, so I'm not complaining about that whatsoever. And I, you know, Humberto is a talented guy. He tapped out to the calf crusher of AJ Styles. Fine. After the match, AJ taunted Carrillo, pretended to shake his hand, and he got beat down. And the Street Profits clear the ring to help Carrillo to his feet. Which the Street Profits are just, aren't they just lovely? I'm saying that extremely sarcastically. Inside the ring, they're fine. I'm fine with them being inside the ring. But they came out to a segment that was just, what are they doing? Talking about smoke and stuff? I know it's from NXT and we want the smoke. I mean, what? What is this? I mean, seriously. You talk about playing on stereotypes. There's one for you. I find them extremely obnoxious. Extremely. I don't care about the color of their skin. They could be green. I don't care. You cannot tell me of how they speak and how they act and that they come out to just be obnoxious fools has anything to do with skin color. I could be blind. I could be Stevie Wonder sitting there and I would be turned off by this and want to change the channel. Inside the ring, another story. Personality wise, I want to see someone take their head off with a steel chair. Seriously. So, okay. Just a little bit of a touch on that. So my God, good God almighty, we get the King's Court or divorce court and we get Lana coming out. And this was, oh my God. Okay. I'm really, really, really trying to not be super negative. But this explanation by Lana saying that the reason she did this was that Rusev, all he ever wanted was sex. He wanted sex in the morning, in the evening, in the arena, in the doctor's office, in WrestleMania, blah, 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 blah. And Rusev says, can you blame him? The fans pop for that. I mean, it's kind of true, right? I mean, let's be honest. If you're a straight male and you're married to Lana, okay, use your brain, right? So it was kind of funny of the irony of that. So that was good. But she said, Lana says that she's more focused on her modeling career. And if she can't model, and she can't model if she has stretch marks from being pregnant, because now she says that all he wanted to do was put a baby inside her. And then Lana now says that Rusev cheated on her. So now it's three things. Apparently two of them are not true and one is. She said that Lana or Rusev just wanted sex. Oh, wait, no, he just wanted to put a baby in her. Oh, wait, no, now it's because he cheated on her. Apparently, I can't even keep up here. I don't think this was not a well thought out segment in terms of like, hey, does this make sense? Nope. Rusev then says, you know, denies it. And then Lashley comes out. Rusev beats him down and takes off his wedding ring and fans cheer. He holds up the ring and yells at Lana and then shoves the ring in Lashley's mouth. Rusev then beats up on Lashley. Lana comes in and hits Rusev with a kendo stick and Rusev no sells the shots and yells at Lana. And then it gives Lashley the opportunity to hit a low blow and another kick to the groin. And Lashley and Lana start kissing in the ring while they are standing over Rusev as Raw goes off the air. I'm trying to gather my thoughts here. How is this on a wrestling show entertaining? This screams Vince McMahon. Screams Vince McMahon. I don't know how this is the main event. How is this what you want fans to go home with? Please, somebody explain this to me. Somebody explain this. I'm not following. I'm not following. This is entertainment at its worst. And I feel for Rusev because he's the one looking like a fool. I've said that before. Rusev is the one coming out on the bad side of this because he is the one sticking with Lana. For what? Why? She has publicly humiliated you for weeks and weeks and weeks, blatantly had an affair, committed adultery in front of your eyes, and when she comes out, you're still smiling. Like, he's blinded for Lana so much that cheating on him blatantly multiple times on national television is, we're okay with that. Yeah, it's good. He's the one looking like an idiot. And yeah, he took his wedding ring off and he shoved it in Lashley's mouth. I mean, this isn't the worst storyline in WWE history. I will say that. I mean, this isn't Katie Vick bad. It's not. It's really not as awful as that. But my issue with this is the placement of this storyline. The placement of this storyline, you're telling me, is the focal point of the show. It's nothing more than Vince McMahon's warped brain that decides this is the best part of the show. This is the hook we're going to have. As if people are still into the days of Jerry Springer and whatever the heck else was on that, you know, those fake talk shows. It just doesn't make sense to me that this is the focal point of the show. I couldn't believe they made this the main event on a wrestling show of which they love to hide their own identity that they're still a wrestling company. They can do whatever they want. They can call themselves whatever they want. But wrestling is still what they are and who they are. We're entertainment. Oh, really? How do you entertain people? Well, we do backstage segment. And no. I said, how do you entertain people? Wrestling is the answer. So hide from your identity all you want. Pretend to be something that you're not. You're a wrestling company. And when you veer off of that and you go off course, more often than not, it comes back to bite you. And that, unless people, is anybody really enjoying this? Is anybody really enjoying this? I'm enjoying Team Flair and Team Hogan more. That's saying something. And my God, did you guys hear the reaction Hogan got? Me either. Hogan is, he's struggling for cheers right now. And you can hear people audibly booing him at times. And we all know why. His comments were terrible. We all know that. His comments were bad, but How long are you going to punish someone for that? How long are you have you in your life never said anything that you regret? You could say, well, it wasn't being recorded. Well, doesn't that make it worse? Because then it actually means you meant it. I mean, we've all said things that are probably very questionable. So, you know, let the one without sin throw the first stone. So, I don't know. I just don't know how long we're supposed to punish Hulk Hogan for what he's done. Of which made racial comments in a recorded segment that he didn't know was being recorded. Move on with our lives, folks. Move on. Seriously. Alrighty. Well, if I haven't pissed off half of my audience tonight, I will be extremely shocked. But thank you so much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with your wrestling nostalgia. And of course, let me know what you guys think. What do you want to hear about tomorrow night in terms of my WWE take on... Again, anything from 97 to 2019, I would be glad to cover any era, any match, any program, whatever you'd like. Let me know. Tweet me at the WWE Podcast. You can also hit me up on email, realwwepodcast at gmail.com. New mic is coming tomorrow. Well, I think this one just held out for one more show. I'm still in my old one. Somehow it made it through the show. But tomorrow, brand new, fresh, clean, new mic for you guys, and I'm really excited for that. And again, hit me up on patreon.com/WWE podcast if you want all the ads and plugs removed and you want access to the entire library ad free and you get on the show and a special offer that's expiring in the next few days. Head on over there and you get your ad free experience, as well as let me know what you guys want in terms of a hit and miss list. If you guys want that, let me know too. I'm really looking for your feedback. This is a show for you guys and a therapy session for me. So it goes both ways. We all benefit. We all win. Alrighty. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. As always, I'll talk to you next time.